Welcome to Street Level Marketing. I'm your host, Mark Lamplew Jr. This show is about real tactics used by elite operators, translated into moves you can execute immediately. Today, I'm joined by Michael Stelwag, MBA, a 30-year marketing veteran who has shaped the digital presence of iconic global brands. From his early work with the Wall Street Journal, all-star internet stocks analyst at UBS, to leading digital efforts at Singapore Airlines and Qatar Airways, where he helped build one of the most followed airline brands on the planet. Michael has lived the evolution of the digital at the highest level. Today, he's focused on AI-powered growth as the founder of Silver Fox Digital, helping brands turn social media, local SEO, and reputation into AI-assisted revenue engines. He is the enterprise growth lead for Socially.ai, an AI-powered social media and reputation management platform. Before I get tactical, I want the audience to understand how Michael thinks, on a global scale. Brands, lessons translate into street-level execution, and why trust is the true growth advantage in AI-driven marketplace. So, Michael, thanks for joining the show.
Thanks so much, Mark. Glad to be with you. Before I begin, I'd just like to kind of at the top, just kind of reiterate, I've spent 30 years building digital marketing engines for global brands, like you mentioned, Qatar Airways, Singapore Airlines, and some others, but brands that operate across dozens of disparate markets. So what I learned was that the fundamentals never change. Like over the last 30 years, the fundamentals haven't changed much. Earn trust, capture proof, show up where the customer is looking, and you'll be just fine. So AI just kind of lets you do all of that smarter, faster, and at a fraction of the cost. So to your question about being a builder, a fixer, or a strategist. Really, and if kind of looking introspectively, I'd say I'm all three, but in a set sequence, very defined sequence. So I build when the infrastructure doesn't exist. So I've been involved in a lot of zero to one kind of situations, and a lot of us are today who are getting involved with AI for our businesses. And then when something goes awry, a machine or a process is broken, I become a fixer. And then obviously, you strategize as you make mistakes or learn new software, new tools in the market to make sure it doesn't break again. So that's essentially kind of the continuum. So putting it kind of back to my experiences, when I helped bring Singapore Airlines onto the web, there wasn't a whole lot there at all. They had strong digital ambitions. I mean, Singapore Airlines and Singaporeans in general have huge ambitions for a country their size, but they had very little digital presence and certainly no social strategy. That required a builder's mentality. So a lot of zero to ones were happening there, and zero to one is a lot of fun to be in that stage. So by the time I was done, Singapore Airlines was one of the most loved airlines on the web worldwide. And so it kind of builds the full arc of build, optimize, and sustain.
Wow. What moment in your career taught you the most about trust, as a business asset? Wall Street Journal, global airline brands, or the work you're doing now?
I'd say when I ran social for Qatar Airways, I started social media privately, a little under the radar for Qatar Airways as soon as I joined to form a digital marketing team. And we eventually made it during my tenure. We made it the number one most liked airline on the web and still holds that honor to this day, which is pretty cool. So there's so many airlines. So that was a real accomplishment for Qatar Airways. And you know what? It wasn't about the ads. It was about the conversations that we were forming with customers, real life travelers in real time. So, trust, we found that trust is built in micro moments, not really in campaigns. Campaigns help, certainly. Money helps. Ad spend helps. But, micro moments are what really matters and changes people's opinion of the brand. So a passenger who tweeted a complaint, yes, I used it back when it was Twitter. They would tweet a complaint when they're on board the aircraft. We would give a fast response. We would help stranded travelers who missed a connection to try to find another airline. it was like a service center through Twitter. And that was really the first time that I saw clearly that marketing isn't broadcasting. It's the operating system of the relationship. And to this day, I've still got great relationships with the some of these passengers. So that was one of the nice knock-on effects of having that job.
When you were leading digital for massive brands, what trust behavior did those companies treat as non-negotiable that many small businesses still overlook?
There's some secrets, you could say, that the big organizations have, and it creates an unfair advantage. But thanks to your series here, Mark, hopefully we can dispel that and break down some barriers. So three things that I've noticed are that consistency beats brilliance. So having a great campaign that's posted a single time is worth a heck of a lot less than a solid presence that's maintained always. So at Socially, we find a lot of our clients at Socially who I'm working with, a lot of the clients there, they have, they've come to us because they have a lot of offices, let's say a dental office with 200 offices. And obviously to make dental social media work, you really need to be local. So a lot of them were that the lights are off. So they're not consistent. They're not. So we've gone in and helped turn the lights back on, and that helps drive consistency, and consistency starts to drive trust. Another second point is that reputation is managed, not earned by accident. So global brands, just remember that global brands have entire teams that do whatever socially is already automated, automating. So this reputation is managed by big teams. The great thing is with AI and with the introduction of Socially and other players like it, that you could actually democratize smaller businesses to have some of the same power to build relationships and reputation that large companies do. The third and final piece is that the local moment is the moment that matters. It's the moment that converts. So even Singapore Airlines and Qatar Airways, we were obsessing over local market SEO to try to be at the right place at the right time. Well, the same holds true with a small business, and with some tips and tricks that we'll probably be discussing today, hopefully you'll be able to send market signals to Google and other search engines so that you're going to be on the map in the top three.
Wow. In 2026, what's the biggest misconception businesses have about visibility? Something that sounds smart, but quietly kills conversation.
Yeah, so there's a lie and a truth that I see. And the lie is that if I show up on social media, people are going to find me. So the thing we need to underscore is that visibility without trust infrastructure is noise, and people don't respond to noise. Now, that's the lie that you'll hear. Just get on social media, things will be fine. There's a lot more to it than social media. Social is it's a very important signal for Google, and it's getting more and more important for Google as well as the LLMs. So you still do need to be on social, but that it's not enough to just be on social. The truth is that 80% of local searches, people that are searching to find you on Google, they're going to make a decision within 24 hours. So that's kind of the holy grail, finding that bottom of the funnel, high ROI. And some of this, you don't even have to spend a penny to actually enjoy the benefits. And they decide based on what? Based on your reviews, your star rating. And whether you respond, do you even respond to reviews? If that layer is broken, you're literally invisible at the moment that matters the most. So this is what I typically call the digital curb appeal problem. So a stunning store, a stunning website, but no sign, no reviews. Functionally, they're invisible in 2026. So we've got to go all the way here and really look at the local SEO and GMB, Google Business Profiles, to really crack the code. So, and then just a couple of stats for you, Mark. 88% of customers who conduct a local search on their smartphones are going to visit or call a store within 24 hours. And another conundrum now is that 4 out of 10 local business searches are triggering Google's AI overviews, which means that beautiful, shiny website you've got, 4 out of 10 times, no one's ever going to see it. They're going to get their answer right up top. So these are some serious trends that we have to be in tune with how to get on page one. And if the real estate is changing on page one, we need to do something about it. And that's hopefully what we'll do today.
Yeah, we do a lot of testing with the AI search here. And one of the, I think, common denominators I see, on those search responses is customer reviews. It seems like AI is really drawn to the feedback that real people are leaving about you. So we're coming out of time for this segment, but coming up next, I'm going to turn the trust into an operating system, reputation, local presence, and social signals, and how those translate into revenue when we come back after a word from these sponsors. Welcome back to Street Level Marketing. Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in both English and Spanish. On the move, catch the podcast version at www.nowmedia.tv. Welcome back to Street Level Marketing. I'm here with Michael Stelwag, MBA from socially.ai. And now we are getting practical, because trust matters if it converts. Most businesses treat reviews, local SEO, and social as separate. In this segment, I connect them into a single measurable loop: discovery, proof, decision, and action. The goal is to give the audience a repeatable rhyme they can run weekly. Michael, when you say reputation becomes revenue, where does it show up first? Click through, call volume, appointment rate, or close rate?
Yeah, Mark. Actually, we find that it's showing up right at the discovery stage, right at the top of the marketing funnel, before anyone ever clicks. So when you appear in local search, someone may not know about you until they've seen you in Maps. If you're in the Google Maps in the top three, your star rating is immediately visible right up there on the map. It's the first data point that many customers see for your brand. Businesses who happen to have a sub 4.0 rating are essentially filtered out by consumers or the engine itself, but probably by consumers before any consideration. So think of it as a bouncer kind of at the door of a club, but instead the bouncer's at the door of your sales funnel. Then it hits the conversions part of things. Research shows that every 10 new reviews could increase your conversion rates by 2.8%. And simply, this is mind-boggling, simply responding to 25% of the reviews you get could improve your conversion rate by 4.1%. Now, those are small single-digit numbers, but if you magnify that over the course of a week, a month, a year, we're talking huge shifts in revenue fortune for your company, no matter what the size. So it compounds the close rate at the close rate. So customers spend up to 49% more money at your business, businesses that reply to reviews. So if you're replying to reviews, you're more liable to find customers who have the trust to spend more with you. So reputation isn't just kind of a soft and cuddly kind of soft marketing feature. It is arithmetic, basically.
Yeah, I'm in the automotive space, and reviews could kill, crush you if you're not doing a good job. Because I'm sure customers here, they'll look them up very first thing they do before they come in to buy a vehicle from you. Give me the weekly operating rhyme. What should a business do every week to build momentum across reviews, local presence, and social without burning out?
Yeah, great. Well, first of all, I at all of our clients, we try to gamify it as much as possible, use it as a performance measurement tool or gamify it, incentivize it internally to get frontline staff really motivated to do it. Because when they know that there's something at stake for driving reviews, they're thinking about customer service end to end. So whether it's the auto service center at your dealership or just any customer service position, when they feel that incentive, I think that it makes them want to move. Now, from a marketing standpoint, every Monday, we would always recommend that we do a review audit. We look at all the reviews across Google, Facebook, TripAdvisor, if you're in travel or hospitality, anything relevant to your industry platform, and flag anything that's negative. Within 24 hours, you have to respond to every new review, positive or negative, and don't use a template. It needs to be real, name specific, situation aware responses. So make sure it doesn't look like AI. That's the most important thing I would say there. And then, you know, in terms of farming out, getting more leads for new reviews, I always recommend to find at least 3 to 5 new review requests to recent happy customers. Identify recent customers, take it personally, and try to get at least 3 to 5 new reviews. One delivery method that really works, we found, is SMS. And if you could just message somebody with a quick link directly to make the review, and you know they're happy, you're catching them quickly, you're likely to get, you're about 90% likely to get the review. And by Friday, I would say, check your rolling average. You should start looking at the trends. You should start seeing the fruit of your labors. Every week, you should see a shift of some kind. So are you trending towards 4.5 plus, or is the recent review velocity holding up? Or Google, basically, we've mentioned here already, you mentioned, Mark, that Google rewards freshness. So a business with 50 reviews from last month outperforms one with 500 reviews from 2 years ago. So identify your top reviewers. This is something monthly that you should do, especially if you can trace it back into your CRM, if you're keeping track of customer data, is to basically find your top reviewers, build a loyalty touch point with them, constantly thank them. Or if you see them coming into the store, you thank them for their review. I know that's maybe not going to happen work all the time at scale, but it doesn't matter. You're basically walking the talk, and so anyway, it's the way we recommend for customers. One thing that's very important is recency is so important. So this is why we always are doing midweek triggers of trying to get more reviews. Another stat for you, Mark, is that 73% of consumers only trust reviews left within the last month. 20% only read reviews from the previous 2 weeks. So it's kind of, what have you done for me lately? And if they're ready to transact, they're looking at how have you been lately? So that's why you got to keep those new reviews coming in.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. We have about 18,000 reviews across our 3 stores, and we got 4.8, 4.9, 4.8. So we're one of the highest rated, you know, dealerships in the region as far as online reviews, but we keep a pretty steady cadence of requests and reviews. And another thing about the reviews too is Google is starting to get really strict on giving something for a review, like a gift card or some sort of incentive. They want authentic reviews, that's another pretty good in mind. What matters more for the trust right now? The review volume, the accuracy, the recency, the detail, or the speed of response?
The most important thing is freshness. The freshness of the, so it's kind of a, you gotta have kind of a 30-day rule. Recent studies have shown that around 3/4 of Google users are no longer trusting reviews that are older than 30 days. And a lot of, like I mentioned earlier, the vibe check is happening. So customers are literally looking to see what is the latest vibe with this brand. Not a 4.9 from 3 years ago, but a brand that's maybe acting like a 3.6 these days before they're about to transact. So they do vibe checks, and that's why recency and freshness are the most important things. And then the other thing is for the Google algorithms, the review velocity. So freshness and velocity are the single two most important aspects. So by velocity, I mean, how many reviews a week do you normally get? Is that velocity consistent? Is it increasing? If it's decreasing, you need to do something about it, basically, because it's going to be a negative algorithm flow. Now, the review detail is also very important. You need to see if the reviews you're collecting are just stars with no comments, or is it great service, two words, hey, that's better than nothing. But if it's three or four rows of text, people talking and mentioning a specific name, a service that was performed, maybe they uploaded a photo or a video, those reviews are golden. And somehow you need to find customers and encourage customers to give a little more detail to their description. Google's checking that. And of course, there's a lot of keywords in there, keyword trust. So the reason that's important is because LLMs are pulling more and more from Google reviews. They see it as a single source of truth for customer opinion. And so if you have longer reviews, you're more likely to get that review or an excerpt of it put into an LLM. And then just speed of response. I just can never underscore that. That's very important as well. And then just the review volume, it's nice to have. But really, after you get past 50 or 100 reviews, even for a small business, it's not about the quantity, it's about the quality. So just kind of bear that in mind.
You touched on this a little bit earlier, but if AI is helping with the reviews or the messages, what are a few rules so it, you know, never really sounds generic or auto replies?
Yeah, definitely. Always have to include names and always try to. So in your replies, you have to include names. You have to make it sound personal. You have to sign it under somebody's name and position, not just customer service team. So go the extra mile. It takes an extra 20 seconds, but boy, it's worth it because that gives you a chance to go where 4 out of 10 searchers are going, right to those review results. The LLM results that are driving search these days.
Yeah, I'm building an internal platform that responds. We have 11 GMB listings, and only 3 are managed by, we have to use reputation.com per the, Ford and Chevy and all that. But the other listings that we have, I make sure they're always personal. It's very important. And then everything's right there, so we can find the info that's needed. Before we move on, where can people connect with you directly, or where should they follow socially?
So socially.ai, socially.ai. That's for socially.ai, and we run social media at scale. And I'd love for you to connect with me on LinkedIn. My name is Michael Stellwag, and it's just LinkedIn/IN/Michael Stellwag, all one word. So it'd be great to see you guys there.
Up next, I'm going to get into AI without the hype, what I automate and what never to automate, and how to keep the brand's personality intact when we come back. Welcome back. I'm still here with Michael, and this is the line most businesses are struggling to walk. AI can save time, but it can also erase your voice if you're careless. Framing AI as co-piloting systems, speed and consistency and execution support with guardrails, truth checking, and human accountability. The audience should leave knowing, what good AI looks like in customer experience and content. If you had to pick one area where AI drives the highest ROI for a real business today, what is it? Is it customer response, content, segmentation, or follow-up?
Definitely customer response, in my opinion. It's the highest leverage point and the most forgiving place to start. Because remember, already today, small business owners are juggling operations, sales, delivery, and finance. And the one thing that most consistently gets dropped is timely quality follow-up with customers. So AI can handle first drafts of review responses, inquiry acknowledgments, and FAQ answers 24/7, and does it so adeptly and quickly, and it's getting better and better as it learns your voice. The second highest value would be content. And of course, that's one of the powerful things behind socially.ai, but only when it's properly briefed. So AI-generated content without a brand voice framework produces pretty much exactly the generic crap that is flooding the internet right now. So let's take an example. So Starbucks is kind of an enterprise version of this done right. They have an AI analyzer called Deep Brew, and looks at your order history, location, time of day, and weather to personalize the app interaction. So you don't really need Deep Brew, but you can apply the same logic at your level, know your customer's last interaction, and respond accordingly. So right now, approximately 70% of marketers are using AI and digital marketing, but the winners are the ones using it for quality, not just volume.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, you see a lot of it today. And what's the number one way you see AI damaging brands right now? Is it the tone, accuracy, overposting, or making promises that businesses can't keep?
Yeah, so I'm going to hit all those briefly, because all of them it actually affects. In terms of tone, AI defaults to corporate-friendly and bland kind of messaging. We've all seen that with ChatGPT, right? Brands lose their personality and start sounding like every other brand. So that's something that can go really wrong if you don't train the AI what you're supposed to sound like and what you believe in and what words to use and so forth. The second one is overposting. So AI can make it cheap and easy to do 10 posts a day, but the frequency without quality trains your audience to basically ignore you, like banner block, but now for social media, and it penalizes you algorithmically on most platforms. The third one is kind of making promises that the business can't keep. So AI, if you're not careful, AI can promise the moon and the stars, and create trust killers that no five-star review strategy could fix. So the common thread is AI with no human guardrails is a liability, but AI with proper guardrails is a multiplier. So the brands that are winning right now, kind of like BMW and Heinz, those are two companies that have notable case studies about using AI with their creative teams. The key is with. So even socially, we are predicated on using AI to build social media, but we do it with an expert, a human. So the human hybrid AI approach is the winning formula for companies these days. Doesn't matter the size, big or small.
Given your brand voice guardrails, what rules do you set so AI can assist without impersonating the business?
Yeah, so tracing it really quick to socially, because that's a really important part of what makes socially effective in the market today and so unique. They have an extensive onboarding system. It might take a few hours to onboard a brand, but it'll save hundreds of hours of bad AI output, which ends up saving the customers about 95% of the time they normally would spend on social media. So whether you rely on socially or any other AI platform, there are five components that you need to think about when you are setting rules. One is the vocabulary list. So what are words that you always use? What are words that you never use? Instead of cheap, would you say affordable or value? So you, whatever the archetype, the taxonomy is within your organization needs to be input into the social engine. Tone scale. So are you from doing the formal boardroom tone or text from a friend tone? We find that most smaller businesses land somewhere between 6 and 7, sounding a little bit more like friendly tone. But you got to feed that tone into the social engine, right? Or into the AI. And then off-limits topics. What should AI never touch? Politics, maybe competitor mentions, pricing, speculation, medical claims. And then this is a really important one for those of you working in a regulated industry. You've got to put your regulatory frameworks and laws into the AI engine. We work with a lot of medical companies, and so to do their social media, we really have to remain HIPAA compliant. So we load the HIPAA legislation into the system, so it actually puts out information that's already legal. You know, so it's a lot less work that we have to do to check things because we know it's got all the information it needs. And then just human approval triggers. Any negative review, maybe over 2 sentences, any complaint involving a refund, any media inquiry, those have to be done manually. There's some things we just can't leave to AI. So that's those are kind of the factors.
How do you design a workflow where humans aren't the bottleneck, but quality doesn't slip?
Yeah, so kind of a 30-day AI launch plan. Let's put it kind of in weeks. Week one, definitely set up your Google business profile. That is the most important thing you can do as a small business. And then the AI response drafting. Draft some responses so that if you are too busy to respond to every review, at least you have some natural sounding AI drafts to use as responses. Every new review gets an AI drafted response, essentially human reviewed before posting. And the KPI that you should set is a response rate that goes from near 0 to 100%. Now, by week 2, you should build a 1 to 3 email follow-up sequence for post-purchase or service customers. So when a customer leaves, definitely have some kind of an email sequence, whether it's 1 or 3 or whatever it is. The last email in that sequence should ask for a review. Create a social content calendar using AI to generate post ideas. Again, all of these tools are pretty much bundled in socially, but you can actually do them separately as well. So in this case, you could go to a Claude or a Gemini and generate a really nice looking content calendar for the entire month. And you and your team would have to approve each post before scheduling and aim for 3 posts a week, not 10. And then finally, in week 4, review your metrics and look at your new review velocity. That's really important. This way you'll actually see the fruits of your labor. You'll see that your review velocity starts to go up and the average star rating movement should also go up. And your Google business profile interaction rates. These are your proof points, essentially. So the measurable outcome within 30 days would be, let's say, 15 to 20 new reviews, a 100% response rate, 3 times social publishing velocity at the same labor cost. So socially, AI actually helps automate a lot of this, and it saves many man hours. But again, you can do some of this without using the paid tools.
Yeah, I know for me, when I used AI to create content, I usually, create everything and then just use AI to help clean it up or, make it better. So it still continues to be, what my thoughts and expressions are with just a little help in the presentation, so to speak. In social plus local, what must stay human to keep the credibility intact?
I'd say just personalization. You have to personalize. Again, we don't want to get back to where ChatGPT just cranking out something that sounds really bland and boring and it's going to get you nowhere. So personalizing everything and auditing everything to make sure it's got that personal touch is the most important thing. Always read back before you send something to a customer. Whatever the AI has spit out, read it. If that's not in your tone of voice and feels personal, if it doesn't feel personal, discard it. Start over again.
Yeah, that makes sense. Coming out of time on this segment. In our final segment, I'm going to ask for the street level plan. Your 30-day rollout, the weekly metrics that you put in place, and what businesses should stop doing immediately when we come back after our word from these sponsors. Welcome back to Street Level Marketing. Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move, catch the podcast version at www.nowmedia.tv. Welcome back to the final segment. I'm here with Michael Stellwag, and I wanted to close this with a plan viewers can actually run, not a theory check. The segment becomes the execution map, priorities, measurement, cadence, and the compounding effect of credibility. Also want to clear, stop doing this advice because bad habits kill trust fast. Michael, if you walked into a business tomorrow, what are the first three priorities in exact order? Local profile, reputation, social, or messaging, offer, and clarity?
Yeah, I tackle the bottom of the purchase funnel right away and do things that will improve your visibility right away. So fix number one, the Google business profile. You've got to claim it, verify it, complete every single field, even if it takes 3 hours, finish every single field. Upload 10 photos minimum and a video, post an update today. So basically, you'd be surprised how few businesses actually post updates to their Google business profile, and it really hurts the visibility. So this is the single highest ROI action in local digital marketing. The cost is zero. The time is maybe 2 hours. Now, fix number two is to look at your review velocity. So again, identify 10 of the happiest customers in the last 30 days and personally ask each one for a Google review. Text is better than email, again, or even a phone call. But 98% open rate for SMS suggests that text would be a really efficient way to do this. But do this before spending a dollar on ads, okay? Because if you don't have the social proof and you're running ads, someone clicks and they'll be discouraged once they see your reviews. So gotta fix the review velocity. The fix three is the response protocol. So commit to responding to every review within 24 hours, whether it's positive or negative, not a template, real specific human response. This alone lifts trust signals in Google's algorithm and in every consumer's perception. Just one important stat too, this is kind of mind-boggling. Positive Google reviews can result in an 18% increase in conversion rates in search results. And then another one is that conversion rates increase 270% when businesses display 5+ reviews. So you don't have to, if you're at ground zero today, you can be in pretty good shape within a month. You just have to do these three steps.
That's a good point. The being able to repost our offers on our Google business listings, but you can post something every day, a graphic and some kind of offer or, every day on Google My Business. And a lot of people don't do it. It is kind of shocking. What slide numbers do you check every Friday to know if trust lands revenue or is rising together?
I'm a data nerd, so I try to pick more than five, but I'll tell you my top five. The first one is new review count this week. So really set a target of at least two to three per week for most local businesses. And if you've got more velocity than that, keep shooting higher, right? So get a new review count and test your review count each week. The next one is to look at your current star rating over the last 90 days. So how are you trending in the rolling 90 days, the previous 90 days? Are you above 4.3? Are you trending up or down? This is your trust temperature, and it's kind of a leading indicator of where your business is headed. The third one would be Google Business Profile interactions. So that is calls plus directions plus website clicks. These are buying signals. And if this number drops, something has changed in your visibility. You need to understand why. And it could just be a Google release, or it could be something you're doing or that your competitor's doing that's knocking you down. And then the response rate, are you at 100%? No unresponded reviews should leave your dashboard. So make that a really important number to follow each week. And then last but not least, social reach and engagement this week. Let's not look at the vanity metrics. I don't care how many followers we have. I care about engagement. So I look at the engagement rate and see how that's trending. If it's decreasing, your content quality is failing you. And so you need to make an adjustment and maybe do moment marketing, which is something socially does.
What should businesses stop doing immediately because it hurts credibility, even if it's generating them leads?
Well, if you're buying fake reviews, I would curtail that immediately. Okay, Google removed 240 million fake reviews in 2024, and getting caught will wipe your profile. So, and then 62% of customers avoid brands involved in review manipulation. Stop posting on social media without a response plan. So, broadcasting or posting and ghosting. Ignoring comments and DMs is worse than not posting. So it signals that no one is home. So if you're going to post, be prepared to interact with anyone who interacts with you. Engagement rates across social are a little bit down, as you probably know. So treat them with kid gloves and appreciate them, but don't ghost them. The third one is to stop spending on ads before you have a 4-star rating and at least 10 reviews. You're paying to drive traffic. I mentioned this earlier. You're paying to drive traffic to a trust vacuum. Fix the destination before you buy the traffic. So that's what I would recommend.
How do you turn happy customers into a repeatable growth asset, without making it feel transactional?
Yeah, so there's three steps that I would follow in this, and none of them feel transactional when they're done right. So, step one is to ask at the right moment. The window for a review request is usually 24 to 72 hours after the positive experience. After that, the emotional peak kind of fades. People forget about the feeling they had when they got great service at your shop or store or service. So automate this touch point somehow, and that's kind of where the sequencing of emails can help you. The step two would be to make it effortless. Send a direct link to your Google review page. So one click, a single click, a business, the business that includes 10 step in the review process is going to get a fraction of the responses. So remove the friction, keep it really easy to a single click to make a Google review. And then the third one is close the loop. So when a customer leaves a great review, respond with appreciation and something personal, and do your best to remember that person. Whenever they come back, acknowledge them. You're going to win a customer for life when you do that. They see that not only did they get a AI or personal reply, but they actually got a pat on the back the next time they came to you. So, one thing to just note is that 65% of customers have left reviews after being prompted by the business. So the ask is not optional. You need to make it a required customer interaction. And imagine if 2/3 of your customers would leave a review for you on ask. Think of where your numbers will go.
If you had to define the advantage in the AI era into one sentence, what separates the winners better? Is it the tools, better systems, or better trust, and why?
So I spent 30 years watching global brands win by showing up consistently. And you know, those were big brands, but AI has leveled the playing field. The businesses that are understanding trust is a system, as a system, and not a vibe, those are the ones that are going to win over the next decade. And again, even if you own just a small business, you can compete with bigger brands now, because you can level the playing field on brand reputation.
Well, we're coming out of time, but I want to give the audience another opportunity to, you know, be able to find you. Tell the people where they can connect with you, your website, your LinkedIn, and the best direct contact for your team at socially.ai.
Yeah, great. Yeah, so we'd be happy to meet any of you that are interested in learning more about automation in AI, especially with social media and Google Business Profile Management. I'd encourage you to visit www.sociali.ai. That is sociali.ai. Just go to the website, sign up for a demo, and I will be happy to give you the demo. I actually run demos for Socially, so I'd be really happy to give you a spin, you know, take you for a spin on the software. And also, you can reach me on LinkedIn. There's not too many Michael Stowags in the world, so you'll just find me there, and you'll see the guy with the glasses and the suit on, and we'll be good to go. But I'd love to meet you there. And my ad agency actually does help companies develop their local SEO. So we're always happy to give a free local SEO audit for you. And Socially, on the other hand, if you come to Socially, if you contact us, we can give you a moment marketing deck. This is an extensive deck that explains how you can tap here and now opportunities that are tapping into trends on social media. And they're exactly tailored to your business. What you'll come away with is multiple post ideas that you may have never thought of that tap into current trends that are going on in social media. And like we mentioned earlier, social media is another important element for LLM information infusion. So if you want to be included in LLMs, you can't ignore social. So contact socially.ai and we'll give you a free moment marketing deck. And if you contact Silver Fox Digital, contact me on LinkedIn, I'd be happy to give you a GDP audit free of charge. So thank you very much, Mark, for today's session. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, this was truly street level. My biggest takeaway is simple. Trust isn't branding. It's operations. When I tighten the experience, proof, and follow through, marketing starts pushing and starts converting. I'm Mark Lamplugh, and this was Street Level Marketing. I'll see you next time.